for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 2011 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, July the 3rd, 2011. Ronnie Bejew is the speaker of this service, teaching on Don't Quit in Your Pit.
Welcome to Camp Meeting 2011. Amen. July 2011. Amen. What a wonderful bunch. Amen. How many of you in here have no problems whatsoever? Raise your hand. You're dismissed, Richard. That's what you get for going half mass. Be bold, son. Stick it out there. Wow, new faces. You know, we've been coming here almost working on getting close to 30 years. And I can still recall the days when General Glenn and Queen Irma would show up at our houses unannounced. And I'd say, "And what are you doing here?" He says, "We're hiding." Okay. So, I had to send the wife to the grocery store to shop for Brother Glenn and Sister Irma. And Sister Irma, we just put her in the middle of the living room and we just treated her like the queen, you know. Because if you didn't, you'd get straightened up in a hurry. She'd always call me, "You crazy Cajun." And Brother Glenn would just relax and lay on the floor, and we were just reminiscing about times past on the way up here. It's been a privilege. It's still a privilege to come to a place like this. My wife and I have pastored different churches through the years. And I can tell you, when you go out there in the church world, it's chaotic. Preachers have lost their backbone. They trust more in the stock market than they do the old rugged cross. I might be old school, but I got a new word for you. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're hiding anything from God, you're going to be found. And somebody going to help me?
Amen.
Do I have some witnesses on this side?
Amen.
Can I get a witness on this side?
Amen.
Is there anybody in the house that's going to help me up in here?
Amen.
44 years ago, I was in a foxhole in Vietnam. How many of you know what a foxhole looks like? They're not very big. This is big enough for you to bend over and hide your fanny and hope that one of the mortar shells don't end up in your pit. Tonight, I'm going to make it very brief for you. I got a word from the Lord a few weeks ago for the camp, for the body of Christ. Don't quit in your pit. Everybody is facing situations and circumstances. If you were home, I'd say, "You might be in despair, mon frère. But don't despise the days of small things. The most marvelous thing about a pit," and I'll give you all the Hebrew and the Greek after a while, we'll talk to them in a little bit. You know, I want to be hermeneutically correct and cross all my T's and dot all my I's. I have two English grammar teachers sitting on the front row. One of them happens to be my wife. Life throws punches, but we're going to have to punch back. Up to now, we've had it easy in church life. Church, as we know, is changing drastically. I mean, is this best y'all can do? I'm gonna preach to the choir. Church is changing drastically.
Amen.
Punch your neighbor and say, "You better wake up." He said, "Church is changing drastically." I want to make it very clear that if you find yourself in a pit, or you may be in a pit right now, the word pit in the Hebrew is bor, B-O-R-E. It's not necessarily a place where you hide from your enemy. It's a place where God hides you from your enemy. I'm going to preach to the choir over here. I feel the anointing, and I feel the anointing. I'm going to have to follow the Holy Ghost. And see, the pit has many lessons for us. Your pit life right now is preparing you for your future. I mean, you're going, come on.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Do I have to get the hand mic and preach? The marvelous thing about a pit, and there are marvelous things about a pit, it has four sides and a floor. But the heavens are open to you. But if you have a tool and you keep digging, you get deeper into despair and into your pit. But if you throw your hands up and you praise the Lord, come on, you've got to have a praise in you that will get you off of the porch and into the palace where He lives. But as long as you're having them sad old songs and remembering the songs from Zion, and digging yourself a pit, you are never going to get out of the pit until you begin to praise. And when you begin to praise Him, something begins to raise up on the inside of you. And next thing you know, you're in the Father's chamber and you're having yourself a love affair. You can't have an affair and be legal. Come pray for me, honey.
Put your hand out to me, please. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for holy boldness, anointing. Father, use Him in every capacity that You desire this night. And Lord, we ask that You prepare the hearts of the hearer, Lord, that they can hear the Spirit of the living God speak to them, and that there will be change and challenge in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Woo, turn to Psalms 40. Psalms means praise. That was weak. This is Sunday school. Psalms means praise.
Hallelujah.
Can I get a praise?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all stand up. We're not having one of those pitiful night services. Psalms means praise. The Bible says, let everything that had breath praise ye the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, you better praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Yes. Now, if you're in a pit tonight, I want you to praise yourself out of it right now. I'm coming out. 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 No, no, no. Look at your neighbor. Turn around and say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Woo! Somebody say glory.
Glory.
You got your paper and pencil?
Yeah.
All right. Four quick points. I don't know if I'm going to follow them in line at my nose, but I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost. Are you ready?
Amen.
When we talk about don't quit in the pit, number one, the pit is a purpose-driven pit. You're in there for a purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get ready. You fixing to be found out. Then number two, proving, making pit. You're going to prove yourself. Because in the pit, God is going to expose self to you. Because preachers that you've been sitting under are afraid to tell you what's wrong with you.
That's right.
They want to tell you what's right with you, and they want you to be part of the seeker-sensitive movement. How idiotic is it for us to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and sit in the church and quench the Spirit of God when we have invited the Paracletos to come in and move in our midst and pray and welcome the presence of Almighty God in, and here we are trying to be seeker-sensitive. We don't want to upset anybody. You can't upset something that's dead. Well, brother, we need to love everybody. Love affirms the truth.
Yes.
The Bible says that the law came through Moses, John 1:17, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I'd rather you get mad at me and even forget my name. But when you stand before God and I stand beside you and say, He did not tell me the truth.
Right.
Now, I'm going to help Patty out. If you've got personal prophecies, I'm going to step on a limb. And I catch you, I'm going to rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Because when you have a personal prophecy, you saying that the authority of this church and the authority of God is not enough, that is invalid, that you can do whatever you want to, that's because you're self-righteous. I told God if I came, I'm not going to hold anything back. Now, Brother Glenn always used to let me have my way, whatever God had put in me, so I still feel the same freedom. If you're afraid to speak on behalf of the oracles of God, please remain seated. I notice you're not afraid. There will be no deliverance tonight. Y'all can sit down. You're not in fear. You're in faith. It's so good to know somebody's listening. All right. Number one, we're going to talk about the purpose-driven tent. Psalms 40, there's a little bit of history that comes into here. And you know, I don't have enough time to develop all the historical facets. But you got to remember that David was a mighty man of God. But David did not start his life behind the podium. He was not born king. He was a young shepherd who shepherded a few nasty little sheep. I am not insulting. According to his brothers who were jealous of him, they thought that all he could do was pass a few nasty little sheep. And they could all sing, bad, bad, bad wood, how do you any wool? But what was happening with David, God was preparing his future. I'm not going to take my wife's message. But David's two encounters with the bear and the lion had a purpose in it. And it was purpose driven because God was going to develop some character in him and it was going to come a time when he would be able to stand against Goliath. But before you can stand against Goliath, you're going to have to defeat some of the lions and some of those little old bears that are crawling and growling at you. Psalms 40, verse 1 says, I waited. Look at your neighbor and said, I waited. And you might want to say, I'm still waiting. I waited patiently. Notice that the word waited and patiently is synonymous. They work together. Because you're going to find when you're waiting, you need to be occupying yourself with something. Because it's still true. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. And if you go in the devil's orchard, you're going to pay the devil's price. But I want to tell you by the Spirit tonight, some of you have been lied to. And you ought to delete every lie. And began reprogramming your mindset that the promises of God concerning you are still yea and amen to the glory of God. They are. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things, not a few things. I love the Christian cliche that has gone on through all the charismatic churches over the last 30-somewhat years. You call those things which be not as though they were. You go back and study the prophets, and you will find they call those things that be not what God told them, and what they were going to be, what God gave them. See, you can't call something which be not as though they were unless you have had a divine revelation from God. Well, while I'm on the subject, let me just preach myself happy. You see, you've got to understand something. There's the ultimate will of God. That when that comes to you, God has made sure to you your election and calling of God.
That's right.
How many of you know what you're really elected and really called to do? I can tell you what it's not. You're not to be called and elected to sit on the premises. You're not called and elected to sit in the pews. You're called, as the Ephesians 4:12, to go out and do the work of the ministry, and the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers are to perfect you to get you to that place. But the 21st century church is still struggling with apostles and prophets. Why? Because there's so many flakes out there. Self-appointed, self-anointed, self-interest, self-kingdom. And the reason that the kingdom suffered violence is because we not have a backbone. We've taken a backbone off and got a wishbone. Where we used to believe God, we go to man now. Or we go to somebody and say, give me a word from the Lord. Come on, sister. I know you got it. Let me have it. If I give you a word from the Lord, you can take it to the bank. I'm serious about what I told you. Because when I say what he said, my net's on the chopping block. And when he looks at me and said, I didn't say that, I'm done for. And I'm out of here. I'm on the next flight out. And I'm not going before my time. How many of you are going before your time? So the ultimate will of God is to have the calling and election of God. Sure. So while you've been proven in the pit, am I doing all right? You begin to reconsider your election of God. Now you've been between a tight place and a hard place, and you begin to question. That was the first thing God called you to do. Am I sure God called me to preach? And the vice, he puts you in the vice and he goes, am I really, really, really sure? But brother so-and-so prophesied to me that I was called. Man, the pits are smelling after a while. Because the only residue in the pit is you. I'm of a particular humorous character. I heard of this little thing fleeting to my mind. So if I need deliverance, you that I trust that do deliverance, please come and deliver me after the service. Not right now. We got a guy on the radio. Is this on? I don't want this on. Is it on? Good. Welcome to the power of the hour. This is your holy host, Reverend Self-Righteousness, coming to you from a self-interest program. We would like to invite you to invest into our church and our kingdom, and we promise you that you will have excellent returns. If you fail, it's because you have not invested enough. And we'll see you next week at this same time on this program. And for right now, I'm signing off, Reverend Holy Self-Righteous. And God says, what? Who called you into what? I was in a service, and man, I was in the pit. I mean, I need some help. I went there for help. Got all the apostles and the prophets and 5-4 minutes, they were all there. And they were having a circus. If you believe God called you to be an apostle, stand up. This little kid's been born 6 months in the Lord. He stand up, he says, I'm an apostle. I'm going, did you ever feel like a little worm? And you hope that you could find the smallest little crevice to crawl into. And going, God, I can repeat my wife's word when she was in a situation. If you get me out of here, I promise I won't be coming back. Everybody say, won't be coming back. Now that you understand the ultimate will of God, you have to understand the divine purpose of God. His divine purpose will probably 99.999999% of the time not agree with yours. When you have gotten yourself in a fix that you can't fix, a mess, if you please, and can't get out of it, you begin to divine things through your mind that begin to transcend into spirits that will give you all kind of information, but the right information. You don't depend on your mind or your little coconut. You don't depend on that demon between your ear, that stronghold. You depend on the Spirit of God that's inside of you. Only He can divinely correct you and change your course. The purpose of the pit, my brethren, is that you might incline your ears to His saying. Yes. And that might require of you to go back and nail your ear, instead of putting a bobble in it, nail your ear to the doorpost of God and say, I want to hear you, Jesus. Somebody help me, Jesus. I'm standing in the need of prayer.
Hallelujah.
Is there something wrong with you guys? Hallelujah. Preach it, brother. In being part of some half-baked, half-cocked, deadbeat message that corral people into the sanctuary and they corral them out like cattle. I attended one church service. They have four services on Sunday mornings. I said, glory to God, man. Hallelujah. Jesus must be moving here. I've got to go see this. Oh, elegant speech. Prop and trim. I think that dude practiced it in front of a mirror. Every, all his ducks in a row. How far has the church been removed and allowed herself to draw herself into a pit of despair? Because great men of God will not stand up anymore with being fearless in the presence of his enemies and declare and decree the oracles of God. Precious men like Brother Clement Humboldt sitting back there, who has seen more stuff than I could ever dream of. From the holiness movement to the oneness movement to this movement and the latter rain and the former rain and all these different moves that he's seen. And to live this long on the earth and to see the church in a state of despair. Do you know that depression is one of the number one killers in America? I heard the most simplest definition of a spirit of depression the other day. Brother Tom kind of touched on it. It's called inward anger. In the pit, God visits you, Adam. And he lets you see yourself. And you go, oh, God, have mercy on me. But if you're a good charismatic, you say, that's not me. I'm not here. And it ain't hell. It's not me. Denial, denial, denial. But you can't figure out in your little finite mind, what is wrong with me? People avoid you like the plague. There's nothing wrong with you, sister. There's nothing wrong with you, brother. You just need to quit squirming like a worm and take it like a man and woman of God and sit up and say, I don't care what comes, hell or high, I'm going to praise him.
Amen.
I just came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'll fly away, oh glory. Hallelujah. I don't think we read the same Bible. And to find God's heart pulsating at a rate that his heart hurts, to find that his creation has been placed in such a dilemma. I quit apologizing years ago for what God put in me. You like it? Or you don't? Love it or leave it? But when I stand before him, I'm going to say, I didn't cut any punches. Now, does that mean I'm flawless? Absolutely not. If you want to find out if I'm flawless, you ask this precious young woman sitting in the front row. She'll tell you right off the bat that I am. I have flaws. I changed it. I said, I have flaws. Notice that the first word is, I got to hurry. But Patty said, I have till 11. I waited patiently. Have you really waited patiently? The word patient, waited means, the word Hebrew means gava. G-A-V-A-H. How many French people we got in here? Two? Okay, brother, we're in this together tonight. Hallelujah. The French word that goes with gava is gala. G-A-L-A-H. And it means to seek and to focus. While you're waiting, you're supposed to seek him. I'm believing God for someone there. My wife said, how long are you going to sit here, man of God? Are you waiting for the glory heavens to open and pour it out on you? Are you waiting for someone to come knock on your door to show up with what you need? And the next thing she says, get up, man of God, and go do what God called you to do. Some of us have gotten so deep, we scratch and crawl, but the pit feels like it has no depth to it. It's bottomless. We've cried and moaned and groaned. Been to everybody that could lay hands on us and every conference we could go to get a word from God. Well, I didn't go to a conference. And in my pit of despair, God came and breathed a word in me. Notice the word says, first person, I waited patiently. And he said, for the Lord, Jehovah, the all-existing one, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. I would say unto you, saith the Lord, in this camp meeting, in this time that there is a shifting and a mingling, saith the Lord. And I'm going to bring you through the hard places. And I'm redirecting and reorganizing the authority of the church in such a way that many of you will say, it cannot be. Many of you will say to the Lord, I don't feel worthy. But the Lord says, despise not what I do. For I'm redirecting and I'm reconnecting you, saith the Lord. And I'm going to bring a different glory in your midst. An anointing shall begin to rise in you. For that which you have wept over your pillow at night, and tears had fell to the ground, and you said, it is all futile, it is all for naught. The Lord says, rise up, O child of God. Rise up, O Israel. Rise up, O Zion. And know that the Lord has shifted, and there blow a wind, a fresh wind of refreshing coming into your life. You shall begin to realize that the order of things have changed. And I will open a portal of glory. For the Lord would say to you, there is a difference in a window of opportunity and a portal of glory. A window of opportunity is that you might find your need. But the portal of glory, says the Lord, is when I come in my manifest presence and make myself known to you. For in my presence, as I not said to you, there is fullness of joy. Rejoice, you who have been barren. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And say no more, I'm not fit. I'm not educated enough. I'm not adequate enough. For the Lord said, for that which I have anointed, I have appointed. But be of sure, saith the Lord, I do everything in due order and by the order of my Spirit, saith the Lord. See, the year 2011 is not just the word of how many I've heard preach about blessing, 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 blessing. 11 is the number of disorder and confusion. And haven't you noticed there's been a lot of disorder and confusion at the beginning of the year? First the natural, then the spiritual. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He inclined. Hold your finger then, go to Proverbs 4:20. What did God incline you to do? Well, I was in the pit and I forgot to bring my Bible with me. Can you still hear God? Can you remember what He said to you in times past? Solomon is speaking with wisdom to his son, and he says this to him in Proverbs 4:20. He says, my son, attend to my word. If you write in your Bible, if you don't think it's sacrilegious, please put your name there and says, my son or my daughter. Attend to my words, incline thine ear to my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all... Hello?
Diligent.
The diligent age stores up its goodies in the winter, in the summer. So in the wintertime, it will have substance. Hello? For out of it are the what? Issues of life. Look at your neighbor and say, you have any issues? Get rid of them. Get rid of them. The Bible says in Romans 4:21 that Abraham was fully persuaded that which the Lord had said unto him, he would bring it to pass. Come on, y'all need to loosen up. A.B. baby is now 99 years old. And he looked at Sarah and, oh, she still looks as lovely as the day he met her. He doesn't see the wrinkles. He doesn't see the things out of order, you know. All he sees is his precious, blushing bride that he married. And even though he's had some trials, and even though it was predestined that he would marry, he would have a baby through Hagar, who was an Egyptian. See, whatever you birth, you have to take care of. Whatever he births, he takes care of. All right, we got that settled. Get rid of your Ishmaels. While you're in the pit, receive all of your deliverance. Why go home, have bake? We have plenty of specialists here.
Psalms 40, verse 2. Notice in the latter part of verse 1, he said, he heard my cry. He heard the word Shema. He listened. He hearkened to me. And you're waiting for the Lord to speak to you, but there doesn't seem to be an instant change. What do you do, preacher? You keep waiting. You keep praising. You keep occupying yourself. You keep witnessing. You keep telling people about the goodness of the Lord. You go visit someone who is in worse shape than you are. That is not hard to find. Or in the same shape that you're in. And you walk in there with your shoulders back and your head up and says, "The Lord sent me." And you feel about as empty as a bucket. And in that moment, boom, the Lord will breathe a word in you. Why? He has availability. Write this down if you're taking notes. Pits have purpose-driven qualities to invoke your obedience. I wish I had about an hour to preach on obedience. To trust His Word and do His work. Pits have purpose-driven qualities. You're in there for a reason. Let's praise not for a season. There are two kinds of seasons, 4 months or 1 year. I'd rather the four. But I wasn't as fortunate. I got more than 1 year. So purpose-driven qualities to invoke your obedience, to trust His Word and do His work. One more time. I have to write that down when it comes from the Holy Ghost because I can't always remember it. Pits have purpose-driven qualities to invoke your obedience, to trust His Word, and to do His work. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Boy, we're doing good. Point number two, are you ready? Look at your neighbor and say, are you ready? Are you sleeping? Are you sleeping? Wake up! Proving making pit. How many of you have been taught that Malachi 3:9-10? To bring all your tithes to the storehouse. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord. And you leave it like that. But the other side of that coin, if you study it in the Hebrew, says, and I'm going to prove you. You're not in the pit for God's joy. You're in the pit because He's preparing you for your future. And when you get out of that pit, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go find somebody that's in the pit just like you were in, and you're going to have a word to give them how to get out of that pit.
Yes. Amen.
Pits can be making wrong decisions. A pit can be indecision.
Yes.
But both decisions, you're wrong. You have to make the right decision. And to do that, you have to hear the word of the Lord for you. If I prophesy to you tonight, the Lord would say unto thee, thou art wonderful and beautiful and skinny and weeny and oh, wow, and you weigh 450 pounds, I have just lied to you. In the physical. But if I added, thus said the Lord, and I knew He said it, and 30 days from now I look at you and you're weighing 125 pounds and you're looking good, honey. You're going to say, preacher, can you prophesy something else to me? No, I need to be rich. See, it's never, flesh never has enough. This is why there's a cry going to the throne room of God. God must deliver His womb. Can I give it to you in a nutshell? We're coming out of a church age into a kingdom age. Can I preach? Here's the deal, Lucille. I hope your name's not Lucille. We go to church. Young man like David. David, you don't mind if I use your son? It's just too bad if I do. Stand up. I love you anyway. I got David off the street, hypothetically, in 3 weeks, man. I done trained him. You ain't drunk yet. I trained him, and I taught him everything I know about church. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Good. Now, 2 months later, David's over here preaching the gospel, and he's telling everybody about church.
That's right.
Is he right or wrong? He's fine. He did everything he learned. But then God begins to talk to him, thank you, David, about His kingdom. And he looks at me like, see, we had this idea, and I don't know where you got it, and I do know where you got it. When we got born into the kingdom, we were just prepared to be part of the army. But when an Israelite is born in natural birth, by the age of 20, he's already inducted into the military. No questions asked. You are going to be part of the army of Israel. When we got born again, no matter your age, you got inducted into the army of God.
And now you have to begin to learn about kingdom principles. And it's a different culture. It's a different mindset. Other than the Americanized Western church. Who has shown you what's wrong with you for 2,000 years. But they've never told you what's right with you. And leave church like a puppy with your tail tucked between your leg and feel like you've been whooped with an ugly stick. And on your way home, you look at your wife and say, "Ah, I'm sorry I ever went to that." There's that anger. And the next day you wake up and you're depressed. Your wife looks at you with a twinkle she's always had and you go, I mean, you don't even have to talk anymore. Well, I'm telling on us, but what about you? Let's bring it to where you live. The judgment starts where? Thank you. It just hit me the other day. What are you doing? So now you want God to feel sorry for you because He put you in the pit. No, you put yourself in the pit. To prove to you that you cannot adequately do anything for Him without His help. And now, I'm looking at proving myself to God. And He says to the psalmist, and He says, "He brought me up, I'll flow out." Let me bring my Bible so I can preach a little bit. "He brought me up." Look what He says. And what else did He do? Help me, Cheryl. "Up also out." He didn't just bring me up out of the hole for me to take a peek. Hey, Tom. Comment ça va, mon frère? Hey! He said, "He brought me up, and then He brought me out."
Hallelujah.
If you believe in God to deliver you from something, if it starts to come up, come on, Patty, it's got to come out. Get real spiritual and you go, That's why you're overweight. How many of you love car racing? New men in here like car racing? Cars. C-A-R-S. Cars. Automobile. Mobilized units. How many of you ever watched a car race? That'll help you now. How many of you ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden something on your dashboard goes, and you're like my wife and you just ignore it and there's a cloud of smoke blowing in the back and you go, some of them, I don't know. And she is forced to stop because she is It's got 1/4 of a quart of oil left in it. Come on now. I need for you to hear me. It's humorous, but it cuts and it hurts and it helps. That is called an indicator. While you're in the pit to be proving yourself, you have an indicator inside of you called the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And sometimes your life will go, Don't say that and you go, boom, boom, boom. You go, It doesn't quit. Parakletos. Para. Parallel. He brings you parallel alongside with Him. So you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He brings you through betrayal so you can feel how He was betrayed by His own disciples. He brings you through confusion so you can find out how it is to be free and look at it on the other side. And you can tell somebody you don't have to have a spirit of confusion. You have the spirit of liberty to serve God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your... He brings you on the other side that you don't have to be bound by the law. You can come out of bondage and you can live under the grace dispensation. But He didn't bring you on the side of radical grace where you can have greasy grace.
That's right.
Balance. Look at your neighbor and say, balance, 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 balance. Then he said, out of a miry clay. Everybody say, miry. If you were from Central Louisiana, you say, miry clay. My wife's from Central Louisiana. And they don't say bayou, they go byra. I said, where did Douglas go? She said, he went down by the byra. I said, the what? She said, the byra. I said, you mean the bayou? She said, no, the barra. Now, you put a Frenchman and an Irishman together, we're going to butt heads.
Y'all don't have that problem. Jesus, why don't y'all get up here and preach? No problems. How many of you drink? That was sketchy. They drink. Couldn't get them, Tom. They didn't fall for it. All right. There we go. Ooh, bottle. Now, turn with me to Isaiah 29. Proving, making pit. I do apologize. I was going to bring some clay or, you know, Play-Doh, and I forgot all about it, and my little girl has plenty of it. And I was going to use this ball to demonstrate. So, hypothetically, you have to pretend that I have a ball of clay in my hand. Okay? Now, I'm the clay, and Jerry's going to be God. And she's going to take all the things she doesn't like about me, and she's going to take me and just mold me and shake me. And don't you lie. You don't like everything about me. I've already picked up on it. And he began to shape it and mold it and shape it and mold it. And he goes, that's what Bijou ought to look like. Long hair like, you know, Steven Seagal, broad. Not going to happen. So God comes. Look at Isaiah 29. I know you know the story, but I want to build a picture in your mind. Verse 15. Woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? When we were a child and we were in the backyard playing and we wanted to hide from mama, we would just lay flat in the weeds and close one eye and point our thumb in front of us, and we could completely cover everything that was in front of us, thinking mama didn't see us. But by the time she called the second time and we didn't show up, she had a little peach limb. And she was going to be the potter, and I was going to be the clay. And she was going to potter my blessed assurance. Because I didn't answer the first time. But I was convinced I was hiding. Watch what the prophet says. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had not? No understanding. Now you're going in the second stage where you're going to try to prove to God you're okay now. And I'm up and I'm coming out. I've got it under control. I went to help a man one time who had suffered great loss in the ministry. And while helping him, God began to give me the description of a potter in the clay. And after the third session we had, he had decided now his anointing was back. Now, I can't tell you all the preliminaries. And he was going to get back on his feet and he was going to preach. And I didn't need to come back anymore. But he had turned the ministry over to me so we could begin to help him, heal him, get him healed and delivered and back on his feet. So midweek, I'm cutting the grass. Before cell phone rings, says, honey, it's for you. And brother comes on the phone. He says, brother, he said, listen, I got it all together, man. I got my anointing back. Hallelujah. He said, you don't have to come back. I said, I'm coming back. One more meeting. All right. It's Sunday. So we go back that Sunday. And here I am preaching my happy self and we're going along and everything going fine. And God says, prophesy to him now. And the Lord said unto him, thou hast a wild ass nature. And I am going to break your nature. Ishmael means wild, untamed, unruly. It's a mindset in the church. It's spiritually adultery. And he was mad at me. This is scary. A few months later, his son died. Then his wife left him. Because he could not obey the word of the Lord. And here you are in this pit. And you think you've got it all together and you're ready to go now. Am I helping anybody here tonight? Yeah. Just when you think you're about to grow some wings and fly out of that baby. You hear the oven, the furnace door open. And you look at this big flat shovel, look like a piece of shovel. They're going to come and they stick that piece of clay that's been molded. And they bring you to, here goes old Ron. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, God, don't put it. Oh, God, I'll please. I'll never do it again. Bum, 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 bum.
I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Here's the problem with sorry. Sorry means that you're sorry that you got caught. And the difference in repentance is when you repented, you changed and turned around. It's too late now, sucker. Boom, 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 boom. And boom. Has anybody seen Ron? Anybody here seen my old buddy Ron? Can you tell me where he's gone? And all of a sudden a holy hush comes over. And you hear that furnace open. Can you imagine those Hebrew boys? Shadow, Mishael, and Boudreau. They get him in there. And all of a sudden. Now wait. They laughed at Abraham. You're going to be a daddy at 99. Sarah's looking good at 90. His neighbors are wondering. They've been watching you in this pit for a long time now. You and your religion. When you go to church, praying in tongue, shouting hallelujah, glory to God, eh? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm on TV. Hey! God says, all right! Tom! Go get old Ron out of the furnace. Here comes Tom. Ron's looking good, man. He's fully shaped. And he's been put into the fiery furnace. And now, that which was moist and clay and pliable had become solidified and presented to God at a yielded vessel. You missed a good opportunity to shout praise the Lord. God gives you a glimpse of what you're going to look like when you come out of the pit. And the good news that you're going to be able to share with somebody else. We're running out of time, but I'm not running out of word. Come on with me. The Bible said in Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man. Look at your husband, look at your wife, look at your neighbor, say, I'm a good man, I'm a good woman. And my steps are ordered, sucker. Don't look at me with a strange look. The mood of that is called an imperfect mood. And in Scripture, it takes us about a vivid picture in your mind. Genesis. Joseph is a dreamer. He's a kid with a coat of many colors. He's 17 years old. And 17 is the number of victory. Everybody say, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior for... Oh, y'all sound like the First Baptist. Wonderful. Give yourself a hand. Hallelujah! See, revelation comes after you saw it first. You heard it first, excuse me. Once you heard the Rhema word when God speak to you, then revelation comes. You're in the pit. And he goes, Bubba, I'm going to make you a brand new man. And you look in the mirror of the Word of God and say, glory to God. Do you ever imagine, boy, I sure like to be like that brother, man. He's got it all together. But you don't live with him. We've got some of the greatest actors in church. Amen. Hollywood's looking in all the wrong places. How do you know, preacher? The best organized army to mankind, ever known to mankind, is the army of darkness. They are not disorganized. They are not separated. They will not, one demon will not kill another demon, but we will kill one another in the church with our tongues. Now, if I get to preach again, I'll probably just teach and sing a song or two, and that'd be okay. No, I'm not. Let's move. I can't give you all the preliminaries. Number three, we're almost done. Potential bearing pit. Now you have potential. I'm in the pit. What a mixture we have in our world. Music. Hip hop. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. Pit. Pit, pit, pit.
We imitate Michael Jackson's and all the different peoples in the world who have built these images in our minds and they have nothing to do with the purity and holiness of God. We have fashioned, like the potter in the clay. We fashioned ourselves what we have preconceived in our little finite mind, what should be good and apropos. And we come with eloquent speech. We study speech and we learn grammar and we get before you and we demonstrate what a perfect human being would begin to enunciate all his words correctly. I've come a long way, baby. You raised in the Cajun land where I was from, everything would let me ask them and those. Let me ask you. My wife said, if you ever go to New York and say, let me ask you, they think you're taking an accent. Boy, you need some help. She can laugh. She said, the other day she said, honey, you're doing good. She's a good teacher. I didn't find anything wrong with it. You ever get people in a circle? My brother and I, we got to talk. Nobody understand what we said. We understood what we said. What's wrong with you? And see, the church will come out in a different shape, and she is going to begin to learn how to communicate the skillful things of God and how to orchestrate the anointing that annihilates every yoke. God didn't save you, man, because you can preach good. He didn't save you because you have a doctorate degree. I got one, though. It hangs on my wall. I did it out of obedience because He's given us many keys to unlock doors. You can't preach with my personality, and I can't preach with yours because we all have a part, and all the parts make a whole. And when we're communicating the righteousness of God, we're communicating out of the portals of glory. We're getting a right now word. I'd rather be in a meeting where there's a right now word than seven lessons on how to get your life together. And you're a worse devil than when you first came in. I didn't plan any of this. He called on Mosiah, bearing in the pit. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, he that began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, verse 3. Boy, we've done good. We're in verse 3 now. Here's potential. And he put a new song. Now, for some of you that are not used to me, Otis Redding used to be my idol. And I played in honky-tonks. And I sang with the brothers. And I mean, we got down. And I'm driving down the highway one day. And I'm hearing Otis singing. Try a little tenderness. And I left my home and had a few rough words with my wife. In other words, we disagreed. People would say, y'all argued. Whatever you want to call it. So, God changed the verses. And he said, try a little kindness, tenderness. And I began to sing this song to the Lord. But being legalistic, like I used to be, I thought, that's a devil for sure. I'm going to get him, brother. Then me and God in the car, and the devil makes three, and he's got to flee. I'm buying you honky-tonk blues, song singing, guitar strumming, blues singing, boogie-woogie music. I drove a few miles down the road and the presence of God filled my car and I heard the same melody coming with a great anointing. I said, what, God? If people heard me doing this, they put me out the church. He said, sing the melodies that I put in your heart. Man, I can't tell you how many songs I've sung. I should be the most blessed artist in the world. I just let them come out of my spirit. And they're anointed. My voice may not be, but the song is. I'm a little hoarse now because I've been preaching a little bit. Watch this. Where did he put the song? When you were in the pit, honey, and the new song comes, it says, I'm feeling bad, so bad, Jesus. I feel bad right now. No. He's going to give you a song that's going to what? Bring you up and out of the pit. And you're going to, I'm going to say like Boudreaux said, you're going to saw yourself, and then you're going to hear that revealing word. You're going to come out more. Glory, glory. I say, loving Savior, hallelujah. Says my Savior, glory, glory. It don't matter what it sounds like. God's not trying to make you perfect. He said he will perfect that which concerns him. Huh? Is that yours? Right. My wife, I checked with my Bible dictionary. Everything's fine. All right. We're about done. Everybody happy? In the pit. He designed things for no one else but you. I got the drink. Hold on. The pit, therefore, is to remind you of where you came from. But he doesn't leave you there because he brought you up. And he's going to bring you out. And where you're going. How many of you have had dreams that haven't come to pass yet? How many of you have been more than a year? More than 5? More than 10? More than 20? Keep dreaming. Keep saying what God said about you. Had a couple leave our church years ago and said, Brother, the reason I left you, you're too loud. I said, well, go find your good dead church where nobody's going to wake you up. If you think I'm loud, you've never heard the sounds of heaven. I'm going to give you a demonstration. We were blessed to go with Sister Mary and her husband on the party bars last night and to see the fireworks. And almost 30 years of coming to Hot Springs, I've always caught the tail end, but never the whole caboodle. And Bill, he just keeps backing up. It looked like Pearl Harbor out there in that lake. All these little green and red lights, and then the fireworks begin. Shoo, boom. You know, I thought, well, this is going to be all right. Shoo, boom, and then, pew, boom. And then they begin to build. To the point where some of them had a lot of powder in them. You could feel the vibration. And you could sing that song. It was just my imagination running away with me. And it will run away with you while you're in the pit. But be not discouraged. In just a little while, there'll come a sound out of the heavens. And God will blow wind in your direction. And he will lift you up out of the pit of despair. And he will set your feet upon a rock. It's coming up. Look at it. Look at it. And he said, he put a new song in my mouth, a praise unto God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust and bless the Lord. Everybody say, bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Pits can be a secluded place where all you have is your thoughts. So what do? Change the way you think.
Yeah, that's right.
It is beyond me how people think they can survive to go to church on Sunday. No longer Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. That's pathé in most places. And survive the whole week and never open the Word of God again. And depend on what was served. He said his songs are new every morning. You've got to be with him every day. I don't care if you can only read 5 minutes on your way to work. You've got a CD player. You've got a cassette player. Whatever you have, plug it in. Some word is better than no word. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Did David have enemies? Absolutely. Was he in despair? Oh, yeah. He lost his best friend, Jonathan. And all the time that Saul had tried to kill him. Don't think for a minute that the enemy wouldn't like to put you in a pit. And just bash your brains in. But see, he's slicker than that. The first thing he wants to do is take a nation. America needs help. And after he has a nation, he has a region. And after he has a region, he has a people, one person, then he has a family. And the church is made of multiple families and all headed in the wrong direction. The battle's already won because Satan cannot be divided from Satan and his demons. The people of God, we must have determination to begin to join together. We have all disliked one another at a time or another. I would not trade the pain and the agony that I went through in the pit. I'm talking at the brink of losing my family. Everything. The ministry was closed. What's left? House and kid. House and child and family. Everything's gone. And I woke up one morning and I said, God, the church is in trouble. I told my wife just last week, I said, you know, we really don't have any problems. We don't dislike one another. The enemy that comes against us dislikes us. Because when he sees Jesus, he feels threatened. Sister Cole brought it out very eloquently this morning. When he sees Jesus in you, he sees trouble. So don't hide him under a bushel. Amen? We've gotten this far. Let's close. Progression out of the pit. Aren't you glad you're going to get out of here? Gee, I'm going to let you out before 11. Verse 5, it says, many, O Lord God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done and thy thoughts which are towards us. Isaiah says in Isaiah 55, says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. They're higher than yours. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more that can be numbered. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. I hear people quoting this verse all the time. It become people's famous verse. I want us to read it in its entirety. Because you'll see the progression. And please don't leave here tonight thinking, well, my life must be in a mess. I'm in a pit. No, honey. You're in the right place. And you got the right God that's going to deliver you. Only He can deliver you. Verse 20, chapter 29, verse 11 says, if I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected, say it with me, expected end. Now, go back to Psalms 40 and look at the middle of verse 5. And thy thoughts which are towards us. What are His thoughts towards us? They're thoughts of peace and not evil. And He's going to bring you to what you expected. I waited patiently. Or, in the Hebrew it says, I waited with expectancy for the Lord. And He brought me out. And when you're out of the pit, you'll find a whole lot of new character traits about you. Things you didn't like about yourself, you like now. We all have an ability to communicate differently. God has all given us, I heard this the other day, and He blessed me. We have many graces. We tell people all the time they have gifts and talents. We have many graces. Do you realize that when you were formed in your mother's womb, actually before the foundations of the earth, God knew exactly what you were going to look like? You didn't come up, well, look here, aren't you cute? And there is absolutely nothing about you that He would change. Because He's the one that formed you. And He's fashioning you to be like Him. We sing that song, my Father is God, and I will praise Him. We sing to Him, how great Thou art. I was learning about healing many years ago, and I was doing some commercial fishing, and I was in the midst of the wooded area and water in the swamps, and I had a problem with my motor, and so I picked it up with one hand. It had these big cylinders on it. Picked it up with one hand, pull the log out, and when I did, my hand slipped. And here comes the engine with full force. And just about that time, I pulled my hand out, but I lost a quarter inch with the bone. So I got a choice. I'm going to cry about it. I'm going to thank him. I fell to my knees in that old boat and I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus. It wasn't my whole head. I got the most filthiest rag from that old bait that I was using to bait the fish, wrapped it around my finger, drive all the way up to the boat ramp, and my dad's still living then. He said, son, what's the matter? I mean, blood is just... I said, oh, it's a minor thing. He said, oh, you park your boat. I'm going to take you to the hospital. I ain't going to argue with my dad. To the hospital we go. It wasn't painful enough that the doctor straddles my arm, puts my arm on the laboratory. He said, this is going to hurt. He grabs the brush, Tom. He walks in and he goes, he hitting the bone and the nurse goes, jigga, 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 jigga. I said, praise God. My dad is standing at the door. He said, you're going to lose your fingernail and it's going to rot off. I said, I'll not lose my fingernail. It's going to come out better than it was before because God gave it to me and he's not taking it away. Praise the Lord. Got Noran to live behind me. So she comes to look at my nasty finger. She gives me a simple solution, a cold compress solution to put on it. And every day I watch layers of skin grow on my finger. So in the pit, you have a choice. You can rejoice or you can complain. Now remember, the proof is in the pudding. How many of you have learned something tonight? How many of you don't know what you learned? Sister Jean, could you play softly for me? Whenever head bowed and every eye closed. You know, the most important part of our service is we go to churches and we take for granted that everybody in church service knows the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that's not true? I prayed for a man who had cancer. He'd been a deacon in the church for 35 years and never heard a message of divine healing. Wasn't even saved. Prayed for him. God miraculously healed him. Can't take it for granted. If you're here tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, reverence the Lord. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and if you have, like Sister McGee said, it's never dropped into your heart. Or you're not sure. You need to be sure tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Just slip your hand up and put it back away. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, just lift up your hand. Anybody in the room? Everybody saved. All right. Now on the count of three, I'm going to ask this one thing of you. If you need ministry, you need to be free of something tonight. You need to be healed. You need to be comforted. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come to the front. And we're not going to wait on you. Are you ready? One, two, three. I want everybody praying. If you have to leave, we bless you in the name of the Lord. Remember 6 o'clock prayer meeting. Please leave quietly and reverently. A lot of times we'll find that if we're not respectful, reverent of the Holy Spirit of God, he leaves. Amen.
This is the end of this message.